from John 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Listens to the Father, learns from him. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. There is something that every one of us here this morning has in common. All of us have been drawn to Christ by the Father. Even if you were drug here today, biting and kicking, yet you're here. You're here anyway. And this is why. Your Father in heaven has been coming to you, has been pointing things out to you, and letting you know that you are loved and you're treasured in his sight. I started thinking about this again this week when someone mentioned to me about the moment in their life when the Father had reached out and, like a lost lamb, this good soul was found and drawn close. From this shared experience, we learn that salvation is God's work. It is his special talent. It is true that we have to make a choice using our free will to walk up on his platform and accept that title of being a son or a daughter. But this is only possible because he made it so. He prepared the ground. He created the mechanism by which we could be saved. And then he carefully and he thoughtfully invites us to become heirs of his kingdom. When it comes to our salvation, he is the one who rightfully should receive the credit and the adulation. So, no one can come to Christ and be saved unless the Father draws them. Well, why is that? Why is that? Why can't a person just up and run to Christ? Well, here's why. There are several of these kinds of lists that are floating around of explanations of the plan of salvation that have been written out by children from church schools. Let the children explain to you why. God got tired of creating the world, so he took the Sabbath off. Adam and Eve were created from an apple tree. Noah's wife was called Joan of Arc. Moses led the Hebrews to the Red Sea, where they made unleavened bread without any ingredients. Afterward, when Moses went up on Mount Sinai, he got the Ten Commandments. The first commandment was when Eve told Adam to eat the apple. The fifth commandment is to humor thy father and thy mother. Moses died before he ever reached Canada. Then Joshua led the Hebrews. The greatest miracle in the Bible is when Joshua told his son to stand still and he obeyed him. David was a Hebrew king. He fought the Finkelsteins. I think I like that the best. He fought the Finkelsteins. Jesus had 12 disciples. One of them, St. Matthew, drove a taxi. The point is, why do we need to be drawn by God to be saved? Because we're born in a cloud. We are raised in a misconception of reality. And the only way that we can find our way, the true path, is to follow his leading, the one that he opens up for us. And the effort to draw us close, is it just kind of a one-time thing, a one-off event, one and done? No, it's not. Well, how many times does it happen in a person's life? Does it end if I sin? What if I sin 7 times? Or what if I sin 70 times 7 times? In Romans chapter 11, verse 29, the apostle tells us, "For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable." His gifts and his call are irrevocable. Now, you might perish in your sin. That could happen because you choose to ignore the call. But God's call to you will continue to the last. But hopefully you won't wait that long to respond to God's calling if you lapse into rebellion, because there is a clear way out. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah 33, verses 6 through 8. Says, nevertheless, I will bring health and healing to it. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security. I will bring Judah and Israel back from captivity and will rebuild them as they were before. I will cleanse them from all the sin they have committed against me and will forgive all their sins of rebellion against me. So even if your foot has slipped, there is no need to be left by the side of the road. Or repentant, turn to God, heals everything. I know as a whole, you all work very hard. You work hard to build up your lives and your homes in strength and in righteousness. But sometimes we do some damage. But that should never keep us from making repairs and to continue building. There is something about the process of the Father drawing us that I want to point out to you, and I know you've heard it before, but it's good for us to be reminded of it. There's one verse in a long story that I want you to see, and you know the story, just quickly. It's about Paul and Silas and Timothy moving all the way through what is today modern Turkey because they're being pushed by the Holy Spirit to go and cross over into the continent of Europe. So finally they do. They cross over and they land in northern Greece and they go to the city of Philippi. And because there's no synagogue in that town on the Sabbath day, looking for a place to worship, they go outside the city. There's a little river that runs by the town and they go upstream a bit. Trying to find that place of worship, they come across a lady named Lydia and a few of her friends who are doing the exact same thing. These women were God-fearers, which was a technical term in those days for Gentiles who believed in Yahweh, who worshipped him as the one true God, but were kept outside of acceptance into full membership in the Jewish faith. So Lydia, who was drawn to God, lived her life kind of on the outside. She was kept at an arm's reach from God's children. I wonder if she knew how much God loved her. God had led Paul and Silas and Timothy all that long way just to the spot where she was sitting that day there in her worship of the Lord. And Paul started talking to her about Christ. And there's this one section. It's at the end of verse 14 in Acts chapter 16, if you want to read Lydia's story again later today. It's at the end of verse 14 there, and it says, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. I think that's one of the most powerful things in the Bible. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. Parents have a way of speaking to us. Whether they're good parents or bad parents, they have a way of getting around our defenses and speaking right to our hearts. Your Father in heaven is even more skilled at this than earthly parents. There is a channel that is always open to him in the human heart. And here with Lydia, the Lord matched up the words of Paul with all the things that he had been teaching her, or been teaching her all the way along. The Father loved her. The Father wanted her. And he used Paul to open the door for her to full acceptance and purpose and mission and a richer and deeper life. And she welcomed it in. I do not know how you yourself perceive your relation to your Father in heaven. Perhaps you've been worried that you are somehow outside the group or not as wanted as someone else. But Lydia's story should encourage you that as far as the Lord is concerned, that, well, you'll do. You'll do just fine. Because the Father loves you. Your Father wants you. And he always has a door open to you for full acceptance and the promise of a rich and a meaningful life. Let's pray together. Our dear Father, we're so grateful for all that you offer us. And we want to welcome you and ask you to build us up. Build us up in your grace and your peace. Build us up with strength and with righteousness. Protect our homes and our loved ones, and to accomplish, Lord, this purpose that you've given to us in life. We recognize that none of us are here without that purpose. So help us to serve you while we have breath, while we have strength, to be faithful in it. Forgive us for our sins, forgive us for our waywardness, and draw us close again, Lord, to you. In your joy and your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.